So British politics obviously dominated very much by Brexit. American politics has been dominated now for some time by talk of impeachment. It all goes back to the Ukraine. And I'm going to have a conversation about that and other things right now before we get back to your calls with Simon Marks, LBC's US correspondent, live from Washington, D.C. The second phone call from D.C. today, Simon. Hello.
Hello, Nigel. I was very sorry to miss you this week. We were airships passing in the night.
We were. Yeah, I was there for a couple of days, as you know. And of course, impeachment, very much the talk of the town. We've had this first procedural vote, but can you just explain, please, to LBC listeners exactly where we are with this process?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this was a big day here in Washington, D.C., which is why it was such a propitious day for you to get the chance to talk to President Trump there.
Absolutely.
By a vote of 232 to 196, the House of Representatives, where, of course, the Democrats are in the majority, voted essentially to advance the impeachment process. They set the rules for what will now be public hearings on camera, where some of the senior Trump administration officials and former senior Trump administration officials that have already trekked up to Capitol Hill, in some cases to offer very damaging legal depositions about what went on in that telephone call with President Zelensky, that President Trump, and in his interview with you again, he insisted it was a perfect call. Mm-hmm. Well, many of them say it was anything but a perfect call. They say there was a very clear quid pro quo contained not just in the call, but in the entire policy towards Ukraine, whereby Donald Trump was withholding military assistance from the country in exchange for what he wanted, which was dirt being dug up on Joe Biden. So now the Democrats have secured a vote that will allow public hearings to take place, at which Republicans will get some degree of a capacity to cross-examine witnesses, though not, as you know, as much of a degree to cross-examine as they want.
2 points on that, Simon, I want to pick up on. The vote tonight in the House, every single Republican supported the president, which I think is quite important, particularly if this does go up to the Senate. And the other point was there were actually two Democrats that supported the president. So okay, we know that Pelosi has a majority of her troops there in the House of Representatives, but I just think that point is worth making.
No, I think it's a crucial point. I mean, I think the fact that the Republican caucus completely held with him in that House of Representatives vote today is very good news for him. And frankly, it may be one of the reasons why he sounded in such a relaxed mood during the course of that telephone conversation. We know that here this afternoon, some members of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives are heading to a meeting with President Trump at the White House, presumably a bit of a congratulatory meeting, because, look, there was every possibility that some Republicans were going to crack and vote with the Democrats. I think the Democrats will be relatively happy with the fact that they only lost two votes to the other side. You know, Nancy Pelosi didn't want to bring this to a vote for many weeks, if not months, because there were many Democrats that feared taking a stand and moving forward with impeachment against Donald Trump in some Trump-leaning swing districts. So what you're seeing here is polarization now on both sides of the political aisle, and that, of course, sets the stage for high drama in the months ahead as this impeachment process moves forward and perhaps heads to a trial in the Senate, where the president's support among Republicans in the Senate, where he currently enjoys a majority, will absolutely be put to the ultimate test.
Yeah, and I just wonder, Simon, I just wonder, you know, I'm living in the Midwest and I've got my own little business and I've got a family and I've got bills to pay and a life to lead, and I hear that the president could have tried to get a foreign state involved investigating somebody who was running for president, and that in doing so there was some sort of bargain on aid. And then I hear the other side, which is, well, if Mr. Biden could become the US president, if there was a real problem here, shouldn't the people know about it? I wonder whether Washington looks a hell of a long way away if it goes through this process, and whether actually it could in the end actually help Trump.
Well, that's a gamble that Donald Trump is going to have to take, because there is no heading off this process now. And I think today's vote makes it absolutely apparent that in the House of Representatives, Donald Trump will be impeached. Now, he will then have the opportunity, as we head into that election that he noted in your interview is now exactly a year away, to make the case that people in the swing states that voted for him to fix the economy don't really concern themselves very much with the extent to which the United States might be offering military assistance to Ukraine or not. But Democrats will say, hang on a second, there are laws here. They do not allow you to encourage foreign countries to interfere in America's political process.
But even if, potentially there might be a problem.
Even if potentially there might be a problem. Yes, no, the law is explicit about it, Nigel. Okay. The law says you cannot solicit... You cannot solicit anything of value to your campaign from a foreign government. So even if you think that Joe Biden and his son were up to all sorts of no good in Ukraine and China, as you've claimed, the law doesn't give you a pass and say, well, actually, in that case, you can go and solicit support. Okay. And it's the chairman of the Federal Election Commission herself who keeps publishing the law on her Twitter feed, and there are Trump administration figures themselves who keep going to Capitol Hill and saying, look, the president did something wrong here. That ultimately is a problem for him. It might be a surmountable problem, but it's a problem.
It is a problem. No, I do understand that. And finally, Simon, you know, you've been a great watcher of Trump through the campaign and through these first few years of the presidency. Was there anything about him tonight and the things that he said that you thought was new?
Well, I think that there was a lot in it. And I think that what's so interesting is when you sit here and you watch him engage in what we refer to here as those chopper talk conversations, which is where you most often see him interacting with reporters on the lawn of the White House, his hackles are up. He doesn't like them. He doesn't trust them. He thinks they're all out to get him. He thinks they're fake news. In a conversation like the one he had with you, and you know, you and
he
I both
me.
Know this,
yeah.
he knows you, you're your friends, he considers you political and philosophical soulmates, he is much more relaxed. And so some of the things that we learnt there that we didn't know, and in no particular order, he made it absolutely apparent that he thinks it's likely, given the current lay of the land, that he'll be facing off against Elizabeth Warren in next November's election. He thinks Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders are all over. He's never said that explicitly before. He did reveal, and I don't think we knew this before either, that he had met Ann Sekulis when she was in the White House preparing for that meeting with Harry Dunn's parents that didn't take place. We knew that she was there. We knew she was in the room next door. We did not explicitly know that she had met the president when she went to the White House. I think, to be fair, he did once again give voice to the false claim that he was in Britain on the day of the referendum. Of course, he wasn't. He arrived the morning after the referendum, but he still seems to believe that he was there and played a big role in achieving the referendum result. And I suppose most interestingly of all, of course, was this sort of new information on his view about the NHS and its role in any trade deal.
Yes,
because of what he said about what had happened back in June. Remember when he was there on the state visit and he was asked at a press conference, is the NHS on the table?
Everything's
and
on
he
the
didn't
table.
Seem to recognise the acronym and Theresa May had to say, it's the National Health Service. Well, he essentially confirmed in that interview that he hadn't heard of this issue until he came to Britain for the state visit. Now, he suggested that it was Jeremy Corbyn that had put the whole idea in the public domain. It was, in fact, Donald Trump's answer to that question about the NHS that initially put it into the public domain before he walked it back. But I think it is pretty clear now that when that question was initially asked of him, he didn't fully understand the gravity of the answer that he was giving at the time.
Yeah, I mean...
And that's new information. I'll make one final point, Nigel.
Yeah.
I think you should have pointed out that he was a first-time caller to LBC and he'd be welcome to call back anytime.
I did say he was a first-timer, but I didn't say he was welcome back. But he is. Simon, thank you very much indeed.